And God was talking, and I said, "Brother, God would speak to you right here." How many of you know that? God will speak to you through your heart. God's not done with what He started in this church. Because the Word of God says when God begins a good work, He's faithful to finish that work. So we're going to talk tonight once again about words. Now, we limit God by our words. Remember this, faith is an action word. You can tell God, "God, I want to do great things for you." But you got to put faith. You got to put actions with your words. Faith without works is dead. Come on now. Even this, the Bible said, "You tell me of your faith, but I'll show you my faith by my works." What does faith stand for? Forsaken all, I trust Him. No matter what I'm going through, I'm going to have faith enough to believe that if God brought me to it, oh, hallelujah, He will bring me through it. As I was coming up the road from school today, and I want to share this with you. I was telling Pastor, everybody knows in here I teach EC kids. Let me change that. They teach me. They teach me a whole lot about life. I came in this morning, and all of my kids said, how did the revival go, Mr. C? And I'm thinking to myself, they didn't say, "Hey, Mr. C, how are you?" They said, "How did the revival go?" And I said, "Well, I'm up there again tonight." And this one boy said, "If you stay any longer, I'm going to tell my mama to bring me up there." And I really believe that kid would. But what made me feel so good is they wanted to know how things were going up here, and they were EC. Every day I learned something from those kids. We can learn a lot from EC kids. First and foremost, they don't finish the race unless they finish it together. That's just a little nugget I was going to give you. It didn't cost you nothing. Glory to God. But I want you, if you will, to turn to the book of James, chapter number 3. I want to share this real quick, and I want to share it for a reason. If you get a chance October the 4th through the 6th at 6 o'clock, I will be preaching right across the mountain in Hampton, Tennessee. Last night, Pastor Stamey was talking to me, asked me if I'd come over to do a three-night. Well, we don't want to put time on it, because when God's done, God's done. How many of you know that? But the thing is, he asked me if I'd come over, and I said, "Yes, sir, I will." So y'all be praying for me as we get ready to go over there in October. But I want to share something with you. Doesn't the Bible tell us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? Okay, now that's the Bible. It's not the Jonathan Cass Stevens version. It's the Bible. And let me tell you something about saying amen. When you say amen to the Word, if the Word of God says it, you can say amen. Because if you think about it, Genesis 1:1, the Bible said in the beginning. And then at the end of the book of Revelation, it says amen. Amen is a completion. Think about this. Right now, we're still going through the beginning and the middle and the end. And I want to share something with you tonight. Glory to God. We're almost at the end, because the good Lord is fixing to come back to get His children. But we got to work while it is day. Amen. Come on now. Think about it. And I think that when we all come together, and I said something last night, and I felt a little bit of doubt. But there, I believe, as much as I believe I'm standing here, my name is what it is, that this church can see 132 by September of next year. And you don't have to go to other churches to find them. There's a lost and dying world outside this door. There's people in this community that have been hurt. And you might say, "Well, how do you know?" Because when I pray, I tell him, "Pastor, he knows this. I fasted and prayed till I got here to this revival. Because I wanted to make sure," and that's what I told him. I said, "I don't want to know nothing that's going on." And I wasn't being disrespectful to him, but if God shows me something and you know it comes from God, you knew it didn't come from your pastor. I had no idea about the number 12 until he brought it to me to confirm what God said. I said, if I only have 12, and I'm going to tell you this much right now, I believe that there's great things in store for this church. I believe God has great things in store for this community. How many of you believe that God still has great things for this county?
Amen.
Uh-huh. How many of y'all believe that God... Let me tell you something. The one thing I told our people is we are out here to win souls. that we are out here to bring people, the harvest. We're called to bring the people into the church. Your church will never grow. The church in general will never grow if we sit here waiting on the harvest. I got a cornfield right in front of my house. And I watch that farmer every little bit. He'll go and he'll work in that cornfield. And the thing is, he has to go. He sowed the seed. And now it's time for him in just a couple of weeks to go get the harvest. What happens if you don't go get the harvest? It'll die. And it's your job, my job, to go out into the harvest and bring people in. I told our church we need to be all things to all people. And that's what you need to be. Did you know that there's a young lady somewhere in Avery County tonight that wishes they had a father to hug them? And the Word of God says that we're supposed to be a father to the fatherless. Come on. We're supposed to be, you might say, well, how are you a mother to the motherless? There's somebody that doesn't have a mama because mama walked away. It's the church's job to show them love. When people come up to me at school, and I was sitting there talking to somebody this today, and all of a sudden I felt a big old bear hug behind me. I thought, buddy, I'm pretty fragile right now. Now, 6 months ago, you probably could have done that and it wouldn't have hurt. But he grabbed me in a big old bear hug. And I'm like, oh God, who's that? Turned around, it was one of my graduates when I taught at Star Mount High School. Because he told me, he said, you showed me the love of God. Everything we do is for souls. What does soul stand for? I'm getting ready to teach. Serve others until love succeeds. Serve them. Serve them. Don't think that you're above serving. Because before you can be a king or a queen or a prince or a princess, you must first have a servant's heart. Jesus didn't come so that he might get the glory. He said, tell no man of what I've done, so my Father, which is in heaven, can get the glory. When you bless somebody, like Pastor was telling me, I came in today and somebody blessed me with dinner. Thank you. Glory to God. God's going to bless you. I don't know who you are, but God's going to bless you. And then he brought one of my favorite appetizers, which was fried pickles. And I was like, praise God, pass the ammunition. Lord, have mercy. First thing I said to that young man right there, do we have any ranch? Glory to God. And then Sister Tina blessed us with those cupcakes. And Heather said, did you take some money up there tonight in case she's there? No. But glory to God, she wants me to take some more cupcakes home. And she said, if it continues, I'll be up there with you tomorrow. Glory to God. I'm like, they'll feed you up here, baby. Glory to God. Heather woke me up about 3:30. You going to the gym this morning? Lord, have mercy, no. I told her, I said, I ain't going to the gym. I said, I've been having the gym all week. Glory to God. But let's talk about your words. For you that wasn't here, let's turn to the book of James, chapter number 3. Let's dive back into it. And as you're turning to the book of James, let me give you a thought. Your words can dictate whether you follow your heart and dreams or you abort the vision. Think about it. Is there anybody in this house that God has spoke to you? And you can raise your hand because I'm teaching. I told Pastor Philip, this is a spiritual workshop, this revival. Have you learned anything this week that you really didn't know until this week? There's no reason to say you had that you did. Because I'm going to tell you, if I come in here and you didn't learn a thing, y'all tell me to go home. Lord God, just tell me, man, you ain't doing nothing for us. But talk about aborting visions. Did you know everyone in this house, God has a plan and purpose for you? God has a plan and purpose for every one of your lives. God put you here. Did you know that I can go, because this young man, I know where he works. I can go to where he works and I can get thumbprinted. And he can get thumbprinted. And our thumbprints are different. You know why? Because God made each and every one of us unique. God does not make mistakes. How many of you can amen me on that? Jeremiah said, before I was formed in my mother's womb, he knew me. And he knew the plans that he has for me. I challenge you, if you don't remember nothing else I say to you, you need to fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life. No one in this house tonight wants to die with an incomplete. But you know, the sad thing is, we're so wrapped, I'm just going to obey God. We're so wrapped up in making money that we don't stop to fulfill vision.
That's right.
I want to make money so my family can live better. But your family sitting at home said, Mom and Daddy, I don't need money. I don't need clothes. I just need my mom and daddy to love on me. I'm sitting here tonight. Glory to God. My 22-year-old daughter, she texted me today. Or texted me as I was sitting out here this afternoon. And I was thinking about the time she used to be the age of Jackson. And I'm sitting here and I was sitting there listening to her text. And she was just a texting and a texting. And I was like, thank you, God. And then I heard the enemy say, why are you thanking God? My daughter knows she can talk to me about anything. I told my children, I'm going to challenge you parents. If they make a mistake, don't beat them up. Now, I'm not talking about physically. If they make a mistake, let them know that they can come and talk to you. And not be fearful that you're going to judge them. That's what's wrong with our churches today. Our churches today are full of judges instead of servants. Our churches today is, and I'm preaching to myself, I guess, but our churches today, we judge people. But the thing is, we're not called to be judges. That's His seat. Our seat is to be servants of the Most High God. Our seats, if my brother makes a mistake in his life, like I'll share a little bit. Had a young man text me the other night. I shared this last night, but some of you still need to hear it. And he was upset because he failed. And Pastor Philip was beside me when I wanted him to see this because I want to train him. I feel like God has called him, elder, to be my Elisha. I feel like God has called him to be someone I can pour into. Now, if y'all don't like me, please pray I don't pour into him. Glory to God. But if you like me, pour into him, Pastor. But I wanted him to see how he can minister to people. Not that he ain't doing a great job, but I said, I want you to see this. And the one thing he said to me when he made that mistake is, are you still my brother? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't give up, man. If God would have gave up on me every time I made a mistake, I wouldn't be standing here tonight preaching the Word of God to you. But I said, always, man. He was there. He seen it. And then I went down and I talked to him till the wee hours of yesterday morning. You might say, did you waste your time? No, as long as he was talking, I was listening. Because as long as he was talking, he was giving me an opportunity to show him that I loved him. We need to stop, hit our knees, and ask God, God, what do you want out of my life? God, what do you want me? Can I tell y'all something? You're not going to heaven because you go to this church.
Amen.
And can I tell you something else about heaven? Heaven's not divided into denomination.
Amen.
Sorry. Amen. Color, creed. You might say, well, I'm going to tell you something. I wouldn't want to go to heaven, brother, and get there and say, well, I can't go see Philip because I'm not part of the Christian church. Hey, Philip, how you doing over there, brother? Love you. I'm over in this club. Which I'd be unaffiliated. You know, somebody said, are you Baptist? I said, no, John was a Baptist. I'm a Cass Stevens. Glory to God. And they asked me, I'll tell you the truth on that one. There was this guy come up to me, and I knew what he was wanting me to do. So, because, you know, if you separate yourself a denomination, I always say this, okay, and y'all might boo me out of here. But when I hear people say, I'm Baptist, why are you Baptist? And I'm not kicking just them. I'm actually ordained Baptist, I guess. I'm kicking us. But anyway, now y'all wouldn't know I was, oh, hallelujah. But anyway, they'll say, I'm a Baptist. Why are you a Baptist? Well, Mama was a Baptist. Well, why was Mama a Baptist? Because Grandma, y'all know I'm telling you the truth. Because Grandma was a Baptist. Why was Grandma a Baptist? Because Great-Grandma, I'm like, what does the Baptist believe? I don't know. Am I telling the truth?
Yeah.
Think about it. I don't know what we believe. Well, then why are you going somewhere you don't believe in? Hallelujah.
They got to hang it on the wall.
I mean, yeah, they got to hang it. They still don't know.
Never ended.
That, well, I'm a member of that church. Well, that's great. But when you're a member of somewhere, I don't know about y'all, I'm a member of the gym. And I'm going to make sure I get my money's worth for every time I get a chance to go. Because the thing is simply this, guys. I'm going to say this tonight because I feel like I can. Satan don't have to worry about destroying the church. The church is doing a good job itself.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Because the sad thing is, why do we shoot our wounded? You ever thought about that? There's a lot of casualties of war out there tonight. Spiritual warfare. And I did not know I was going this way, but it's what God said to do. I was trying to get this. But I've got to be obedient to God. That's one thing I love about God. God will mess me up. I'm going down the road. God will say, son, I'm going to switch it all up. And he did tonight. But think about this. We as children of God, we should be willing to get in the dirt and mud with those that are hurting. You know, everybody likes to kick the prodigal son. But I'm going to give y'all something a lot of preachers don't. The son wasn't prodigal. The dad was the prodigal. He was the son. Because so many times, well, he's the prodigal son. No, he's the prodigal's son. I don't know about you, but every time I've messed up in my life, I'm glad that God didn't make me the swine. I'm glad that I told God that maybe I'm the only one that's ever done this, but I've always told God when I make a mistake, God, please don't take my anointing. God, please. How many of you know that God's not sitting there wanting to send you to hell? And can I tell you all this? Newsflash, Jesus ain't sending nobody to hell. If people go to hell, they choose to go themselves.
Amen.
That's what people says. And I'm going to tell you, well, I might as well go there because God sent you. You can't blame it on the pastor if you go to hell. You can't blame it on the pastor's wife and the piano player. You know, I'm just because I've been in church all my life. You can't blame nobody if you go to hell. Because the Bible said don't look on man. God said to look on God. Because what will man do to us, brother? They'll fail us.
Right.
What will man do to us? They'll deceive us. What will man do to us? They will beat kick us when we're down. Glory to God. They'll sit there and you might say, Pastor, I know what it's like to hit rock bottom. It just wants somebody to tell me they love me. The things I've been through in my life, I've been hurt more being a pastor than I ever was a sinner.
Amen.
Pastors get hurt. You want to bet we do.
Absolutely.
Elders get hurt. You bet we do. Deacons get hurt. I mean, people look at me tonight and they think, man, you got it all together. No, I don't have it all together. Because I'm human. I'm man. Didn't the Bible say, don't put your confidence in man? Think about it. In other words, if you see a man of God, yeah, that's a man of God, but don't put your confidence in him. Mm-hmm. I'm just pointing at him. I don't mean that. And all of us better start pointing at the clock. Because we put a lot of confidence in that thing, and that thing's wrong. Glory to God. But the thing is just this. That clock is off, I'm promising you. Poor old Phillip's been cheated about 5 hours since he's been here. Glory to God. But the thing is simply this. I love it. I love it. Merry heart doeth good like a mess. But you think about it, that thing is wrong, but I guess it's closer to the midnight hour and the rapture of the church than it is 7:05. Glory to God.
Amen.
Or, excuse me, let me get Jonathan Cassidy's time. 7:02. Glory to God. But think about it. But here's what we've got to do. Do y'all want this church to grow?
Amen.
I do. I want this church to grow. But I'll tell you what it's going to take. Y'all ready? This wasn't what I was going to preach, but God said to preach it because I know what God's wanting to do in this revival. Matthew 25 says it simply. For I was hungry, you fed me. This church needs a food pantry. It does. Somebody hungry, you feed them.
Amen.
Our church, I challenge every staff members bring 10 cans of food to church every Sunday. It's called Pop the Top. Every family in this church could bring 3 cans of Pop the Top each Sunday. If you can't, I'll give you the money before I leave. I won't give you all $100. My wife will shoot me and I don't have it. I can give you faith and I owe you. But anyway, but the thing is, I got 3 cans of Pop the Top. I bring it to our church. I was hungry. You fed me. Let me tell you about Pop the Top. Have you noticed most cans today are Pop the Top? Somebody was smart, brother. If a kid is hungry, if a family can't afford food, they probably can't afford a can opener. You can throw me a can that don't have a Pop the Top, but if I don't have a can opener, I'm in trouble. Now, I'm talking about faith here. Y'all want to grow? Here's faith. You get 3 cans every Sunday. I'm going to say we probably got, 30 people here tonight, I'm going to guesstimate. So that's 90 cans of food. Boy, that'd feed a family, one brother. Our church is blessed. We have a drive-through food pantry at every school that I'm affiliated with. And what we do, and I'm giving God all the glory, is we build a box. And we put Pop the Top cans in it behind the schools. I don't know about y'all, but I've been there when my family didn't have nothing when I was a kid. And I didn't want somebody to see me and my family going to... I mean, we lived off of food stamps. You know, back then you had to use it like real money. You know what I'm saying? And about the time that Mama would get ready to go get it, I was ashamed of it. But I didn't mind eating the food. And I kicked myself every day. And I'm 44 years old. Why I walked away from my mama? Because of my mom and dad, I'm here today. Glory to God. But they go, families can go behind the school after hours to pick up cans of food to eat. You can start in Avery County, Avery High School. I guarantee you, no principal will tell you you can't help us feed the kids. I was hungry, you fed me. I was naked, you clothed me. Why are we giving our, I'm just being honest, I'm telling the Holy Spirit's telling me, why do we give our clothes to Goodwill when we could bring them to the church and be Goodwill? Think about it. But Pastor, I'm going to tell you what I said, brothers. And I'll tell you what I said, Elder. I won't put nothing in the food pantry that I won't eat. I don't like green peas, and I guarantee you I'm not taking green peas and putting them in there. Because if I won't eat what I put in there, why should I want somebody to eat what I put in there? But I'm naked. You clothe me. How many of you right now have clothes in your closet? You don't have to raise your hand on this. That you don't wear, that you could give to a church, this church, and help somebody that needs clothes. What good is those clothes sitting in your cupboard? Well, they're kept collecting cobwebs.
I'm going to even fit it.
So. Yeah, I'm giving him my clothes now. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is simply this. I have clothes that I don't need, but somebody does. We're talking about Matthew 25. I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Read it. It's in the Word, Matthew 25. Can I tell you something tonight? You can be in prison and not be behind bars.
That's right.
You can have a mental prison. Poverty is a prison. Mm-hmm. In Iredell County, 3 out of 5 kids go to bed hungry, where my church is located. 3 out of 5. 4 out of 5 adults live in poverty in Iredell County. See, can I help you, Elder? Here's what God spoke to me. You got to know your demographics here. Pastor, you need to get the demographics of Avery County, not Iredell. I'll take care of that. You take care of it. But the thing is, get the demographics. And if you don't know where poverty is in the county, go to the sheriff and say, hey, sheriff, take me to the harvest field. Do y'all believe your church can grow? Because here's the thing. If they're unchurched, somebody hadn't reached out to them. You might say, well, I have. How did you reach out to them? Invite them to church. Say nothing about them to church. And then cut their throat where you're in the church. But the thing is, when you do this, he said, what you do to the least, you do to me. Now think about it. If my brother is sitting here tonight, and he is in financial despair, and he is trying to make the choice, do I pay the rent or do I feed my family? The church should step in and say, we'll feed your family. Take care of your rent.
Amen. Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
You feed your family. People come up to me all the time. See, the one thing I'm going to teach you here, because this is a spiritual workshop. Never give people money for food. If somebody comes up to you and says, can I have $40 to go to the grocery store? Say, no, I'll go with you, and I'll pay the $40. Because people are good at lying. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You never give a homeless person money. They say they're hungry. Bring the food to them. Come on. How many people, I don't know if it ever happens up here, but people come up to me at the church and they'll say, Pastor Jonathan, get ready to call off my power tomorrow. Will you bring your power bill to me tonight at church and we'll see what we can do. You know what happens? I don't see the power bill. You know why? Because they didn't want the money for it. We got to be good stewards of the money that comes into the house of God.
Amen.
We got to make sure that every penny that we spend, am I helping anybody? Amen. Your tithes are tithes that should be at work. Glory to God. You should be looking and say, I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord comes back, money going to burn, baby. Glory to God. We need to take the money. I told our church, I want to be one offering from broke. Now, y'all think that's crazy? Because I would like to think that everything we give to God, the Bible even said in the book of Acts, did it not? They sold all their possessions and they gave it to the apostles to distribute to the necessities of the people. Come on. God, I know you're listening to me. You might not like what I'm saying, but it's the Word. The thing was, okay, this is tight, but it's right. We can spend $1 million on building the church, but we could take that same $1 million and feed 1 million families.
Amen.
It ain't stained glass windows and padded pews that's a church. The church is the body of Christ.
That's right.
I told our church, and this is the reason why we're getting a warehouse building for our church. Because I told them, okay, here we go, God. The size of your parking lot is the size of your vision. Because if your parking lot is small, your vision is small. Every time at our church, I tell them to put out every chair we got, brother. I want every chair out in the sanctuary. And one of them said, well, we don't need them. Yeah, we do. Because we're saying, God, this is what we've got. We can put 786 people in the sanctuary that our church has. And the reason we can is because that's what they said. They told us. You can't get filled to capacity. So then I'm sitting here, Sister Tina, and I'm thinking, now God, when you bring those 700 some in, I don't want to not be able to expand. So what I told them is when we build our new church, we're going to have a sanctuary that's a metal frame building, a warehouse building, so when we get bigger, we tear the walls down, we can expand. We can expand backwards. We can have all of those things. I love something about Pastor Philip and y'all. I like that you leave your church open. We're going to have ours open 24/7. We're going to have it open. Because I'm going to tell you something. People that are struggling don't need you at 9 o'clock in the morning. They need you at 2 o'clock in the morning. Satan don't fight while it's light. If you're a single person, or if you're somebody that's went through a divorce, Satan don't fight you when everybody's around you. Come on, somebody. He fights you when you're bad, but by yourself. He fights you. Somebody told me one time, Elder Joe, they said, what happens if they come in your church and they steal your stuff? We got insurance, baby. We'll just get something bigger and better. Come on now. Why do we lock up the place of refuge?
They didn't turn the front door down to get in.
They didn't. It ain't going to cost you as much. I told our church in the vision, we're going to have staff on staff 24 hours a day. Somebody's going to be in the house of God, not just anybody. Because if you put the wrong people in the house of God and try to pray with somebody, it won't work. But the thing is, you have them on staff 24/7. And the reason being, when somebody's coming in at 2 o'clock, you better have somebody that knows the Word of God. You might say, well, Pastor, that's crazy. No, that's vision. Man, you have vision. Without a vision, the people perish. The Word of God even says to write your vision, Pastor. Make it plain. What is the vision of Newly Christian Center? And I'm not just talking about the name. I'm talking, what are you here for? Are you just coming on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night to fill a pew? Or are you coming to church saying, hey, God, use me. I want to be a servant. You know, I pray that after I leave here, when God says my assignment's over, that people from this church come up to Pastor Philip and say, what can I do for the church? Man, do you need me to sweep the floor? Do you need me to vacuum the floor? I'll tell you what my pastor did to me. When I told him I was called to preach, he told me, I did not know I was going here. I promise y'all. You can look at my notes. But when he asked me, I told him I was called to preach. You know what my pastor did? He didn't say, oh, you preach Wednesday night. He said, okay, come on. We walked in this room. He got a toothbrush. And I'm thinking, Pastor got to brush his teeth? I was like, man, I don't need to go with you to see that. That's kind of personal, you know, private. He took me in the bathroom. I'm like, okay, Pastor. He said, you see all these tiles right here in the floor? You'd be amazed at how many tiles really back there. He said, I want you to take this toothbrush. And he said, I want you to take some baking soda and water. And he said, I want you to clean the tiles, in between the tiles in here. And when you get done, clean the toilets. And then I was like, I'm called to preach, man. I ain't called to clean no toilets. I'm not called to clean no tile. But you know what? He told me to do it. About 4 hours later, I'm trying to help you here. I go out there and I said, Pastor, my knees were hurting. My back was hurting. But the Bible says to do everything as unto the Lord. Amen. So I knew I had to learn something through this situation. So what I did is I went out there and I said, okay, Pastor, I'm done. You come in there. I'll never forget what Pastor said. He looked at it, took 2 seconds. He said, any man that can clean my toilets, I can mentor in the ministry. Any man that can clean my tile, I can mentor in the ministry. He said, I've taught you the most valuable lesson, Jonathan. I've taught you to be a servant. And I was like, Pastor, what else do you need me to do? Because, you know, if you give positive reinforcement to people, if somebody does something for this church that might be small, make it some of the biggest things that you've ever seen. Your children love praise. When my hair gets long, that young lady going to braid it. I done told her. I tried to get it to grow a little bit. She said I didn't grow enough of it, so I guess I'll have to wait. But the thing is simply this, a servant's heart. What did Jesus do? He took the time to wash the feet of his disciples. And there was no Reeboks back then. They wore sandals. No socks. Never understood the concept of wearing socks with sandals. Just wear shoes, you know what I'm saying? You know, but what did he do? The Bible said that Jesus told his disciples, and he was teaching them a valuable lesson about being served. Because the Bible said the least is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Amen. Come on now, think about it. So what did Jesus do? He said, boys, sit down. Even the man that turned his back on him, even the man that he knew was going to deny him, even the man that he knew was going to throw, Jesus got turned in for 30 pieces of silver, which is the price of a slave. Judas turned his back on Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. So think about it. Our Savior was a slave. Our Savior was a servant. But the Bible said that Jesus took the time. Well, I'd like to see what would happen if Pastor Philip said God said to have a foot washing. But glory to God. You better make sure y'all don't have no socks on, baby. You need to air freshen them things out. But anyway. But the Bible said that Jesus got down. Am I helping anybody? Glory to God. The Bible said that Jesus got down and he washed the feet of the disciples. And the Word of God said that he dried the feet of the disciples. When they were hungry, the Word of God said Jesus made them breakfast. Think about what I'm saying. Jesus showed the disciples, it's not the anointed, glory to God, that draws people to Christ through you. It's the servant's heart that you have that draws people to Christ through you. See, the thing is, I'm preaching, glory to God, I know I'm watching it too. But the thing is simply this, me and Pastor Philip, and the elders and the deacons of this church, were to go out of this community with a suit and tie and try to talk to people, we'd cut them off. Absolutely. Because we're dressed like we're better. Y'all, I know people probably looked at my truck, but I bought that truck for a reason. It's one of the best conversation starters with gang members that you'd ever see. Gang members look at my truck, they're like, man, that's a nice truck. Yeah, it is. Well, what you got them 22.5-inch rims on this truck for? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? But it's a conversation starter. When we go into the hood, I don't know if y'all have a hood here, but we have a hood down home. When we go into the hood to minister to people, I have my cap on backwards. I have my shorts on. I have my T-shirt on. And the thing is, I don't have to tell them I'm a pastor. I show them I love them. And then they're going to look and they're going to say, why do you love me, man? What you doing down here in the projects? And then somebody will say, you know, man, he's a pastor. And the thing is simply this, it still don't change the conversation because I showed them that I'm one of them. Come on now, somebody. You might say, see, we all was one of them one day. And everybody on this house of God been saved your whole life. You know there's some skeletons in your closet collecting dust. Amen. Mm-hmm. Don't think that you got it all together. I guarantee you tonight I could take y'all to the river and ain't nobody walking on the water. So that means we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Come on, somebody. If you can walk on water, please tell me how you're doing it because I will sink. And please don't throw me into the deep end because I told y'all before, I can't swim. But the thing is simply this. We got to remember that we didn't always have it together. I'm a helping you. Amen. It's so easy for us to look at sinners nowadays, and we've been saved a little while, and say, boy, they're being stupid. But you know what God told me one day? He said, son, every time you see them, remember that was you. See, God don't weigh sin. An affair is just as deep as a lie. A half-truth's a whole lie. Come on, somebody.
That's right.
The Bible said something about liars, didn't it? All liars will have their part linked with spirit burneth with fire, which is the second death. See, people think it's going to be so easy to get to heaven. Huh? Straight is the way. Narrow the gate that enters in, if you be that find it. But wide is the way. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many will find it. These folks, I feel this in my spirit, these folks that are passing judgment on you that seem so righteous and religious, don't let it bother you. They're just trying to clear their own conscience. Pastor Phil, it was funny, somebody told him that not to be a good friend, be friends with me. I'm a pretty good old cat. I don't bother nobody. When people start saying stuff about me, I say this. They said that. Like Jesus. I mean, remember, you don't have to defend yourself. God will defend you. God will fight your battles for you. If we can just learn to calm our, to tame our tongue and let Him fight. You know what? If we just say, okay, God. Because my wife gets so upset with me because she says, honey, I get so upset with you when you don't defend yourself. I'm like, honey, why should I defend me? I serve a Father. I serve a God that will fight my battles for me. I serve a God that will make my enemy my footstool. Come on, somebody. I'm giving you scripture. I ain't talking Jonathan Castillo's version. I serve a God that said when the enemy comes in like a flood, He'll raise a standard.
Right.
Hallelujah. So think about this tonight. As I still am not finished, but thank Lord God. But think about this. What if Noah would have just built a canoe? Why shop for a canoe, New England Christian Church, when God says build an ark?
Mm-hmm.
Am I helping you? Why go through life? I hate this slogan that people say, I would rather be poor here and get a mansion in heaven. You know what? I don't want to barely make it in this world. I don't want to. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. My kids get cold just like yours. I want to live in a house that got some insulation. Think about what I'm saying. But we are living in a church world today that we don't take God at His word. Come on. We don't take God at His word. Dads, the word of God said your whole household will be saved. Moms, the Bible tells us if we train up the child in the way they should go. I'm going to say something tonight that my hair lift the devil in his 40 imps. But it's not the church's job and it's not the school's job to tell our children what they can and can't do. It's our parents' job. We do a series. We do a seminar in our church. Heather and I do on training kids God's way. And the thing is just simply this. It's not SpongeBob's job to teach your children. How many of you know that we have... Oh, I feel this in the spirit. How many of you know that we've let the television be our children's babysitter?
Amen.
What did they call it back in the day, Elder? The one-eyed devil? You remember that? Maybe I'm just the only one that remembers that. My grandpa said, we ain't having a one-eyed devil in this house. And I said, Mom, I can't wait to get home. We got a television. Papa don't have nothing. We had to go out and play freeze tag. Y'all, nobody ever played that hide and seek. Y'all didn't play that back? The little girls look at me like, what are you talking about? Yeah, we played it back in the day, babe. We didn't always have Disney Channel. Glory to God. But there was, you know, how many of you remember back in the day, you was outside until you seen the street lights. You seen that street light flicker. Mama said, get to the house. And Mama would be sitting there like, you almost missed it. But see, the sad thing is simply this. When we show Matthew 25, He says this, did He not? He said, I was hungry, you fed me, naked, and clothed me. I was in prison, and you visited me. I missed one. I was a stranger, and you took me in. What does that mean? The people that walked through the door of this church for the first time should know that they, when they walk in, that they're VIP, as I said, the first of this week. One of our mottos at the church is everybody's VIP at CORCC. Very important person. Because anybody that walks through that door that's not a member of this church is looking for something. My question to y'all is, what do y'all have to give? Mm-hmm. I've been talking to Pastor about that. Ways to improve. First touch. First touch. Can I help you? Can I help you? They shouldn't meet the first person in this church when they walk through the doors of this church. Mm-mm. See, they have a lot of time between parking and the door, whether they want to come in or not. But if you have somebody out there, one thing that can I just be obedient? Can I just be obedient? If it's pouring down rain, don't let them get soaked. Have somebody with an umbrella. You'd be amazed what a little thing like that would do to somebody. Man, I went to that church, and man, I didn't get soaked. Now, I'm not saying that's my new. That means a lot, especially if a mama has a baby. Come on. But that first touch, have somebody. I'll tell you, that's the one place the church fails. We don't have nobody in the parking lot to show the people we love. I'm trying to help you here. Because here's what happens. If you meet them in the parking lot, the first touch is so important. Because when you meet them, you're showing them they're important. As a matter of fact, you might think this is crazy. The criminal condition gets worse. In the new sanctuary of City of Refuge, we're going to have a whole row in front of the church that says you are VIP. And then people that come to the church, the new first-timers, they have a place to park. You want your church to grow. First touch after that. You might say, Pastor, that's too much work. No, it isn't. The Bible says a man that wins a soul is wise. We can't do that in Avery County. Why? This new one, the county seat of this place. That means y'all one of the biggest places in Avery County. Lord, please let them be able to get a Texas Roadhouse in Jesus' name. But think about it. Lord, just a little bit of something up in here, you know. You might say, Pastor, we don't need a Texas. Yeah, y'all do. Y'all really do. I don't want to have to drive over to Boone to get me one. Somebody can make a lot of money if you want to be a franchise Chick-fil-A here. You know, I'm just throwing it out there. But the thing is simply this. First touch. First touch. You might say, why? Because the Bible says, I was a stranger and you took me in. And I promise you, I did not plan on going this way. But guess what God said? Everybody that walks through that door, Pastor, that's not a person, that's not part of this church, is a stranger. You might say, I know them. No, you don't know them like that right there. I'm going to help y'all also. You need to stop letting people recognize you as somebody else's child or somebody else's something. I love it when they tell me that Ralph Castevens is my dad, but I'm living my own life. I want them not to say that. I say, you're Jonathan. You might say, well, I love that I'm Ralph Castevens' son. But see, I can't do the work that God's called me to do in Jonesville. Because in Jonesville, I'm known as Ralph's son. Come on, I'm trying to help you. I'm known as Ralph's son. But get me out of my comfort zone, and I am Jonathan Castevens. So am I helping you? See, the thing is simply this. I love this county, but everybody sees everybody as somebody's child. Think about what I'm saying. And it's no disrespect. But the thing is, when the anointing's in the house, have you ever noticed that I've never called elder by his first name without recognizing him as elder? You give honor where honor is due. Uh-huh. Your deacon's deacon so-and-so. This is Pastor Philip. And I'll tell you, you might say, well, Pastor, no, that's the problem. The Bible says to give, did it not say to give honor where honor is due? That's my elder. He's older than I am. Okay, God, I'm stepping out here. They may not want me to. But anyway, young people, listen to me. Never try to be an elderly person through the door unless you're going to open it for them.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. You see an elderly person pushing their groceries to their car, and you think you're in a hurry, stop and push them for them. Put them in their car and take the buggy back.
That's a servant's heart.
Mm-hmm. The sad thing is, in today's societies, we're not teaching our children to be young men and women. We're teaching them to be spoiled. Amen, Pastor. You're telling the truth there. I tell my kids, I ain't going to give you everything you want, but I'll give you everything you need and then some. But see, the thing is, I'm teaching you kingdom principle.
Sure.
I told Pastor, God's going to speak to him where we go from tonight. I'm not the prophet of this house. But I am going to tell you, there's a whole lot better days ahead for this church than what's behind them. You're not the first children that left the promised land. I'm going to say this, promised. Did you ever notice people say promised land? It was promised land, which means something promised is going to be delivered.
That's right. Amen.
God promised this church that it would grow.
Amen.
Because the Bible said when in the book of Acts, when they got the mindset of being a servant, the church wasn't added to, was it, Elder? It started saying the church began to multiply daily.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? When the church is doing something for God, why should we wait until the 4th of July to set off fireworks as a community? Glory to God. If a church is doing something, can I tell you, if I'm wrong, Tina, you tell me. A church grows by being an outreach. How can we be an outreach in region? God bless my four and no more. That's the mindset of the religious folk today. I don't want our church to grow. Somebody might get my seat. Please, baby, take my seat. I can go get another one. Gonna give up my pew. No, baby, take my pew. I'll buy another one. Put my name on it. Glory to God. If they get you fill my pew, I'll buy another one. Put my name on it, baby. So you want a pew? Go get that pew. That's yours right there. I'll pay for it. I'll pay for this one. Glory to God. You might say, Pastor, why? Lord, why not? Y'all want to build a church? I'm going to tell you right now. My church will sow into it. Glory to God. When you start building on, I hope I'm part of it. But I'm going to say this. Give me a call, baby. We'll write the first check to help you. Amen. You might say, why? Because I believe. And you sow seed into something you believe in. Come on, don't shut me down because I'm preaching good. You don't go to Burger King and buy a Big Mac, do you? You go to Burger King and get a Whopper. Why do you give them money? Because you're sowing into it expecting the harvest of a Whopper. Anybody ever done that? You ever went back and told them they got your order wrong? If Pastor Philip don't preach the Word of God in this house, tell him, say, brother, I think you got the order wrong. Glory to God. We're here to be fed. Uh-huh. You don't go to church just to say, I made it. You go to church to be fed. And I'm going to tell you how a church grows, and I promise I'm trying to stop. But I'll tell you how a church grows. A church grows when it's being fed the Word. Uh-huh. A church grows when you look forward to going to the house of God because you know that fresh Word is going to be delivered. How many times you ever heard the same message twice? There's more words. If you hear the same message twice, you look at that person and say, you didn't study. Because I know I didn't study for this one. I promise you, I haven't used my notes until I'm trying to tell y'all what I was going to preach. Because you know why? God can change it on a dime. He does that to me. Can I help you? I spend 20 hours on one sermon a week. I got to know my product. I preach as if I'm the dumbest person in the room. Because you, brother, might know more than I do. Sister, you might know more than I do. And I don't want y'all going out of this church saying, boy, he's one of the dumbest preachers I've ever heard. He's dumber than a box of rocks. He put Moses on the ark and Noah in the wilderness. Glory to God. He put Joshua as one of the original 12 and moved Matthew over as the one that they spoke to in Joshua. Moses, my servant is dead. How many of you in this house tonight, and you can be honest with me, want to leave the house of God every service being fed?
Amen.
If you get good food, you go back. And you know what you'll do? You'll write a review. Oh, I ain't got time to go into that one. You will write a review, won't you? You'll write a review and say, man, let me tell you something. Best advertisement in the billboard. I know I got to stop. I'll stop. But did you know that the best advertisement for a church is, or best advertisement for a church is not a billboard? It's the people. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to help you. I know I got to stop. But the thing is simply this. In the best teacher's experience. But you have to live a ministry of Matthew 25. If you believe this church can grow, and I'm going to tell you something, God's got a couple more messages. But if you believe this church can grow, you can tell me of your faith. But I'll show you my faith by my words. I'll tell you what, if we continue this revival, I'll sow the first 10 cans into your food pantry. I'll bring them tomorrow night. 10 cans, $10. You might say, Pastor, why? Man, do you know 10 cans of ravioli can feed a family of four three times? Think about it. A little boy with a 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He gave them all he had. And what did he do? Jesus, I know, glory to Jesus. Jesus will take you a little and do a lot. God takes your 10% when you sow seed and tithes, and he does a lot. How do I know that? I'm a walking advertisement for it. I am. I give him my little sister. He gives me all he has. I don't know about y'all, but me giving God my little and him giving me all he's got, that's a pretty good investment right there. Amen. Hallelujah. But the thing is this, I'll do it. I feel the Holy Spirit telling me. God wants to take what little you have here and do a whole lot. How many of you ever heard that song, Little as Much When God Is In It?
Amen.
You may not have a lot to give, brother, but your time you can always give. Think about it. Everybody in this house has at least one gift to give, and that's time. Somebody, an elderly person, get ready to come out of the hospital and they need a ramp built. Don't let their family do it. Jump in and say, we'll build it for them. The Bible told us to honor our elders, did it not? Because you know, once a man, twice a child. If you believe your church can grow, it's time to put some action with your faith. I love you. That's why I'm here. Glory to God. I'm here because I know what my assignment is for this house. And I've sat here tonight and I've seen people's heart begin to stir, Pastor. Their spirit, their heart start to say, Elder, is, what do I have to offer? Hey, man, I don't know how to do nothing but make wreaths. Make the wreaths and give them to somebody. Did you know you can make a wreath? My wife just texted me one. Because, you know, I've seen y'all more than I have her this week. So she texts me and she said, look what I made. I said, how much did it cost? It was beautiful. $7. And we're going to put it on our front door. You got Christmas coming up. Sponsor one family. But remember, when you give that family something, that's somebody else's child. And you would want your child to have the best also. I'm going to stop because I'm going to tell you, you're going to be obedient to God. But do you believe this church can grow?
Amen.
I do. And I'll even tell you what I heard the Holy Spirit saying, Pastor, I am stopping. I promise I'm moving.
You're fine.
But I will tell you what I heard the Holy Spirit say. God said, when you put action to your faith, he said, I'll put action with my word. God told Noah, specifically how to build the ark. If he had missed one step, that ark would have sunk.
Absolutely.
He gave him, how many of you know God's in specifics? God's a specific God. God will tell you exactly, specifically how to do a thing. How many of you know if you wire your house wrong because you're trying to get away cheap, your house probably catches on fire. That's why you want somebody experienced. I don't try to work on my vehicle. I'm not experienced. God's given somebody else that gift. Sister, what do you have to offer? Brother, what do you have to offer? What do you have to offer, brother? What do you have to offer? Even Chris. Chris has got something to offer. Everybody in this house has something to give God.